Joseph, B. Moses, or C. Noah? C. Noah. Who killed a giant with a sling and a stone? A. Moses, B. David, C. Samson. It's B. David. Who was swallowed by a big fish? A. Jonah, B. Job, C. David. It's A, Jonah. Who wrote most of the New Testament? A, Peter, B, Paul, C, John. B, Paul. Who was the first king of Israel? A. Saul, B. David, C. Solomon. A. Saul. Who was the first woman created by God? A. Leah, B. Sarah, C. Eve. C. E. Who led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt? A. Moses, B. Aaron, C. Joshua. A. Moses. Who was thrown into a den of lions for praying to God? A. Daniel, B. Ezekiel, C. Jeremiah. A. Daniel. Who is the mother of Jesus? A. Martha, B. Mary, C. Ruth. B. Mary. Who died on a cross for our sins? A. Paul, B. David, C. Jesus. C. Jesus. Who is the disciple who denied Jesus 3 times? A. Peter, B. James, C. Andrew. A. Peter. Great job, everyone. Keep reading God's Word.
Thank you. When I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valley He's led me, afraid as I could be, till I felt His loving arms embracing me. Why would I ever doubt a God whose hands hold the universe? And why would I ever question His abilities? There's no place that I can go where He does not know the things that trouble me. He's always aware of where I am and just what I need. I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times that puts my mind at ease for good. And I'll stake my very life that He's gonna take care of me. 'Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. Oh, I believe Him now. After all these years, He's been so faithful. He's proven to be true. Oh, nevermore will I doubt or question why. 'Cause I've seen Him work before, and I know what God can do. Come through too many times that puts my mind at ease for good. And I'll stake my very life that He's gonna take care of me. 'Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. All I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's all I need. He's all. I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Amen. Give Jesus a hand clap of praise. He's worthy. Choir, you can be seated. It is so good to see you this morning in the house of the Lord. You'll notice that I'm not pastor. They're on a little trip, a little vacation. They needed some much needed rest and relaxation. So you just remember them in prayer. They'll be coming back home this afternoon, but I'm so glad that they had an opportunity to be able to go and get a little bit of rest up in the mountains. They've been looking over the river all week, sipping coffee out there on the porch and enjoying themselves. And I'm thankful for that. They need that time, that rest. They carry a great weight and a great load here at Calvary. They do much more than you and I ever see. And I'm so thankful that they got a little time to get away. And I am thankful for the opportunity. And I request your prayers this morning. I believe the Lord has a message that he wants to give us this morning. I'll be bringing that here in a few moments. So you just pray this morning. Thank you, Brother Harold. And you pray this morning that the Lord will just speak what we stand in need of. Anybody stand in need to hear from heaven this morning?
Amen.
Amen. We all need a word from the Lord. And I'm thankful that I'm going to be the vessel this morning. But I want to say exactly what he would have me to say. We'll share that a little later on. But it is great to see you. I don't see any visitors with us this morning. Looks like everybody's home folk. And I'm glad to have my wife here with me this morning. She's my cheering section over there, and she's here, and it's very encouraging. I'm thankful to have her in the house of the Lord, and I know you are as well. So please, yes, bless her too. Amen. She needs it, Brother Harold. She puts up with me, and she goes along with me. And I'm glad she's my helpmate, and I'm so thankful for her this morning. But let's remember all the prayer requests. I'm sure there's some announcements. I want to make sure I don't miss anything. Miss Sharon?
This Friday the 10th, we have plans to go to Gibbs Garden. There's a sign-up sheet over here by the organ. If you plan to go, we're going to meet here at the church at 10 o'clock, and we have the children's home van to use, and we'll eat lunch somewhere out there, probably in Ball Ground. And I guess that's it. If you'd like to come, please join us.
Amen. It'll be a great time, I know, and we'll pray for a safe trip and a great time for you guys. Wish I could go. Retirement's right around the corner, and I'll be driving y'all's bus, I guess. It won't be very much long. I'm looking forward to that. But I do, if you plan to go, please be here at the church and meet. Be a great time, a great day. That's on the 10th, so please remember that. I believe that's Friday. So remember that. Remember all the prayer requests. We have a lot of folks going through some difficult times, and we want to just lift them up in prayer. We need God to do some things. This very week, some folks are going through some difficult areas of their life and waiting on some answers from the Lord, and we're going to pray about that. So you just remember all of those in prayer. But let's go to him in a word of prayer. We'll ask God's blessing on the service, and then we'll have a song of congregation, give you a chance to stand up, stretch your legs, and use your voice here in a few moments. But Father, we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be in your house this morning. Lord, what a joy it is to be able to come this way today. And Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for the health, the strength, and the desire that you've given us to be here. Lord, some are unable to be here today due to sickness or different things. And Lord, we know that the children's home is traveling as well. We pray that you'd keep them safe. Lord, some are vacationing and are not here with us today. And yet, Lord, we're thankful for that time that they can spend together and just to get a little time away. Lord, but this morning, I know that you have a message for us. I know that you've given it to me. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me in a few moments to deliver it in a way that you'd be pleased and get glory out of it. And Lord, I pray that for every song that is sung this morning, for every prayer that is prayed, for every word that is given, Lord, that it would be for your honor and for your glory. And we ask you, Lord, this morning that you would so fill this place with your Spirit that when we leave here today, we'll be able to say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord here at Calvary. Lord, some are visiting with us by Facebook this morning, and I pray that you would, Lord, encourage them through your word as well. We're thankful for that avenue that they can go on and they can join it with us, Lord, by Facebook, and Lord, we pray a special blessing on them as well. But Lord, I pray again that you just be with us today. We'll praise you, and we'll thank you for all that's accomplished. We'll ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, stand with me. Choir, stand with me. And let's sing that chorus that says, Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name.
Jesus,
sing this morning. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, let all and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that. Can we sing it one more time? Just worship the Lord this morning. Jesus, sweet Jesus, oh Jesus, there's just something about that name. He's Master, He's Savior, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, sweet Jesus, oh Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Yes, there's something about that name. Amen. Thank you, church choir. You can be seated. Again, let's just say that it's Lord, and it's great to see you here this morning. And we're going to go to the Lord again in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the offering as well as the service. But again, please remember all the announcements. You can get those online. You can see everything that's going on. Please don't forget about next Friday. Choir, meet me here this afternoon at 4:30. We'll go through a few songs for the evening service. Let me introduce to you the speaker for this evening, Brother C.J. Martin on the drums. He's wearing a different hat this morning. Is the only member of the Martin family that's not here this morning is our drummer, Jackson. He's in Griffin, Georgia this morning playing with the group. So please keep them in prayer as well. They've had some difficulties with the bus over the past few weeks, so please just remember them in prayer and that second coming. And we're so thankful for Jackson. He does a tremendous job with them, and he does a tremendous job with the band. He's playing in about 3 or 4 bands right now, I think, and we're thankful for God's gift upon his life. But pray that the Lord would keep them safe today. But Brother CJ will be bringing our message this evening. So, but let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, ask God's blessing on the service as well as the offering. Brother Don, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you once again. Come praising your holy name, thanking you most of all for your Son Jesus Christ, the sacrificing name of Calvary. Lord, we ask that you touch each and every one of us. Bless the brother that brings the message this morning. Give him what we need to hear.
Yes, Lord.
So go through the troubles and trials we will see here.
Yes.
That we can always take steadfast with you towards the Jesus, holy, sweet man.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh.
fellowship shattered, the anchor holds, sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I
I have fallen.
I hope this morning and trust that you're standing on the solid rock of Jesus, because all other ground is sinking sand. Amen. It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning, and I'm going to be real honest with you this morning. I feel like, and I've probably said this before, but what if this were the last opportunity that we would have together like this, like we are, in the house of the Lord? I've also thought that what if this were the last opportunity that the Lord would give me to share His Word this morning? So I have asked Him if He will to give me the liberty to say just, thus saith the Lord, and what He'd have for us this morning. So I've asked Him this morning to remove anything that doesn't need to be said, but please give me the courage and the liberty, Brother Don, to say what He'd have me, lead to me what He'd have me to say. So in a few moments, I want to bring you a message. I want to give you a little snippet before we do. If you want to go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles, we're going to look at the book of Mark, chapter number 15. Mark, chapter number 15, and we'll read several verses this morning, beginning with verse number 9. Mark, chapter 15, and verse number 9. Would you agree with me this morning that the Bible is so perfectly woven together to give us everything that we need in this life? The Word of God. I love the verse. It's probably the first verse that we ever really just took to heart. Probably one of the few verses that we might even remember word for word what it says. And that is, of course, John 3:16. For it said, "For God so loved the church that He gave Himself for it." Not exactly what it says, is it? See, you do remember it well. But it said, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That's a word. Amen? For God so loved the world, Selah. For God so loved the world. It goes on to say that you shall have eternal life, whether we are male or female. I will leave it at that. There's a lot of things to be said about that. But whether we are male or female, boy or girl, black, white, or brown. To be honest with you this morning, the only color that truly matters, y'all out there on the edge of your seat, the only color that truly matters is red. Because what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So, in all reality, all of us should be standing on our feet shouting at the same time, because the only color that matters is the color red. He shed His blood. It was enough blood to cover the sins of the entire world. Man, it'd take a lot of blood just to cover my sins. Somebody say amen right there. Now, y'all are saying it about me, I'm sure. But all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible teaches and tells us that. But the color red
He shed enough blood to cover all of our sins and to save every one of us. It's all about the blood. Now, we're going to jump here into some scripture right in the middle of the Word of God, where Jesus has been passed from judgment hall to judgment hall. He's faced all kinds of adversity. He's been beaten with a cat of nine tails. He's been scourged to the point to where Isaiah said he has been beaten so bad that his insides, his guts, were hanging out. He's been scourged and scarred and beaten to where his insides are hanging out through the scars upon his body. He's now been paraded down the streets of Dolorosa. Now, I don't want you to think this morning or even consider that the woman who had the issue of blood, she's not in the crowd. Even though he shed his blood for her, the woman who had the issue of blood is not here. I don't even want you to think that the 10 lepers were there. I don't even want you to consider this morning that the 5,000 who ate the loaves and the fishes from the little lad's lunch were even there. But here the Savior of the world has been chosen. That's an important word for you. The Savior of the world has been chosen to carry a cross upon his beaten back that's been laid open because of the sins of the world. His body is bloody. His cross he carries is not his own, but it's for you and it's for me. Now, Pilate, you thinking that, well, he's going all the way back to Easter. I just ain't had enough Easter yet. Hey, man, you're just going to have to hang in there for a second. Pilate has a dilemma on his hands. He now has to execute, that's a bad word, isn't it? He has to execute a sentence. Now his wife is there with him. Thank God for wives that are there with you. Amen. His wife is there with him, and I imagine in our everyday vocabulary, she would have tugged at his robe and said, "Hey, honey, hey, I need to tell you something. Before you do or say anything, I had a dream last night. And this might not fare well with you. You need to be really careful about what you say." And he did what every good husband would have done, and he had said, "Yes, ma'am." "Oh, yes, ma'am. All right, I get it." So Pilate now brings Jesus out before the people to make the choice. Should I give you Barabbas? Or should, look how he said it, or should you choose Jesus, who's said to be the King of the Jews? Would you rather have Barabbas, or would you choose Jesus? We know the rest of the story. But I want you to look this morning with me at verse number 9 of chapter number 15 of the book of Mark. And guys, if you will, this morning, I want you to put up on the screen, the title of my message is this: Selective Service. Y'all see that? That says Selective Service System. Now, some of y'all are very familiar with that. Some of us in this room are looking at that like, what in the world is that? But you just hold that on the screen for a few moments. And we're going to read a few verses of Scripture and we're going to pray. And I'm going to try my best to get you out of here as quick as I can. But we're going to give the gospel as the Lord's given it this morning. Amen. All right. In the book of Mark, chapter number 15, verse number 9, it says, "But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. But the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I should do unto him whom you call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole hand, or the whole band, I'm sorry. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing knees, their knees, they worshipped him. Do you think they truly worshipped him? No. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Notice verse number 21. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And I say again, it was our cross. We should have been crucified. A lot of y'all know nothing about selective service, but many here this morning do. It was a way by which you would be drafted to serve your country. Anybody in here been drafted? We've got some. And for that, I want to say thank you for serving your country. For those of you who joined without being drafted, I want to say thank you for serving your country. You say, where in the world are you going with this? We was over there with Barabbas a few minutes ago, but you just hang in there with me. Many were drafted into the Vietnam War. I remember I have a cousin. His name's Donnie Beavers, and he was drafted at the time of the Vietnam War. I remember him in uniform walking out the door from my grandmother's house, and he was headed off to war in Vietnam. It wasn't what seemed very long that he came back home with a purple heart. But I noticed something about him. He was never the same anymore. You understand? He was never the same anymore after Vietnam. And he never wanted to speak about it to anyone of all of the awful things that he had seen and witnessed. It was told that his bunkmate was killed and slaughtered in Vietnam. And he watched it. Every second of it. Nothing he could do. But many understand what the draft means. Many were born in war, not in peace. If you were born in a time of war, back in the World War I, World War II, and all those times, you would have a deep resilience down, something down deep within when you were living in a time of war that would cause you to be strong at a time when most were weak. Do I wish this morning that our country would go back to the time of the draft? Now, the mothers in here with young children or grandchildren would say, no. But I would stand with you and I would say, absolutely I do. Many mornings, I am called in. Most of you know that I work for the Douglas County Sheriff's Office. I'm a deputy there. I've been there for 18 years. I got about a little less than a year to go, and we go. Maybe. That'll depend on what the wife tells me at that point in time, you understand. We got to still try and make a living, but anyhow. So many mornings, I've got to make this quick. Many mornings I go in to bond hearings. I hope nobody in here has been in a bond hearing. Some have, and I, anyway. But we have bond hearings every morning. Within 72 hours of being arrested, it is the law that you must go before a judge and them give you an opportunity for bond to get out. Y'all understand it. Some understand it more than others. But anyway, so I go in there a lot of those mornings and conduct bond hearings. We bring 15 or 20 people all into a room. They're all in there hoping I'm going to get bonded out. I'm ready to get out of here. I didn't sleep none last night in that jail cell. It's hard and it's cold. And then we have this young lady that usually comes in, and she is an investigator for the public defender's office, which public defender means attorney by the state that pays for it. They get an attorney for free. She comes in and she tells them what to say, but mostly she tells them what not to say. You understand? You remember Perry Mason when he said, the things that you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Well, that's what she's trying to tell them. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say nothing. Because you were only in here to get a bond. Now, do you think for one second that they ever just keep their mouth shut? Absolutely not. They got to tell the news, brother. I'm thinking, I will tell them right behind her. I'll turn the microphone off and say, two things you heard. Number one, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And number two, just don't say nothing. But they don't understand that. They're going to tell it. But then she always asks this question. Can I ask this morning, have any of you ever served in the military? You want to know how many hands go up? Zero. You know why we have so much crime in America? Because most people have no regard for their life or anyone else's. They have no morals. They have just nothing, not a leg to stand on. Would they be better off if they served in the military? I'm here to tell you that yes. Because they're going to come marching out there that first morning with their sergeant standing there with his hat tilted down. You say, yes, sir. Yes, sir, sergeant, sir. And it goes from there. Am I right?
It's not better either.
Yeah. It's not better either, is right. I said to run, sir. Yeah. So I said all that to say this. Sometimes would it not be better if we just had the draft again so that we could have a country like we had once before? But I'm telling you that this country has gone far, far away. Now, the draft meant something. It meant whether you wanted to go or not. Because it says selective service doesn't mean that you had the opportunity to select. That means you have now been selected to serve. Whether you want to or not, you have just been drafted. I fell in a time when the draft was not going on. Now you understand a little bit more about the draft, but you say, what in the world does that have to do with the message this morning? On a spiritual realm, if you'll allow me, on a spiritual realm, we would use the term chosen instead of drafted. You with me? We might even use the word selected instead of drafted. It means I didn't ask for it, but I've been chosen. We speak about chosen. I'm thankful this morning that most of the Martin family's here. I said that a few minutes ago, except for Jackson. He's on the road again. But I'm glad this morning. Now, this is very rare. It is very rare that we got old Carter with us this morning, because he's usually around now on a baseball field somewhere, and one or both of the parents might be with him. We understand that really well as the choir. Amen. But I'm glad to know that we've got Carter with us this morning. And I want to share something with you. There's a lot of people that are chosen for different things. Now, y'all know Carter's a great baseball player. I mean, he's awesome. And I'm proud. I guess you figured that out pretty quick. I'm proud. We're hoping that one day he'll go to the MLB and we'll have seats. Because we can't afford to go now. We're looking for him to still keep number 5. They can have Freeman, we'll take Carter. But Carter has been chosen. He was chosen to play this year on the middle school baseball team. He was chosen to pitch. He was chosen to catch. He was chosen to play third. He's been chosen and selected to do a lot of things. Many of you know that he's going to Cooperstown in June. Now, that's a big thing. Only his age group, of what I understand, is able to go. And after the service, we're going to pass a hat because Pawpaw wants to go with him. Amen? Me and Nana would love to go up there to Cooperstown because, it's a big deal. That's not all. Carter, come on, pal. Step out here with me. I'm going to read you something with pride. Congratulations, Carter Martin. The Perfect Game Deep South Youth Tournament Committee has taken notice to your performance on the ball field and are making you a direct selection to the 2nd Annual Deep South All-Tournament Selection Championship, taking place in Huntsville, Alabama at the Sportsplex. Only players that have been named as an offensive or pitching all-tournament selection from a minor AAA or AA event in the region have been chosen to attend. That's my boy right there. That's good stuff right there, ain't it? Now, he's taller than I am. I just noticed that. Y'all don't have to say anything. Yeah. But that was a selection, you see. I'm just trying to make a point that sometimes people are chosen. But being chosen sometimes is not as fun as you might think. Carter's is fun. We're hoping that he'll be chosen somewhere down the road to maybe be chosen for a college somewhere. And maybe he'll be chosen in a minor league somewhere. But again, our ultimate goal is to be sitting over third base when he steps out on the field for the first time. And that's exciting to me, being chosen. But the Bible would teach us that sometimes people are chosen for different things. Sometimes they're chosen for strife. But it was a compliment that God, listen, would choose you. Do you know that God has chosen you? Let's prove this chosen thing. Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." I remember the time that I came to the altar on a Sunday evening. But if you will allow me, I know I've told this story, I'm going to give you a quick little snippet. I was 11 years old. And there was this guy came by, a young man. He was inviting everyone in the neighborhood to come to church, but especially the young kids. because he was going to bring the church bus by on Sunday morning, pick up all the kids that wanted to go to church. Welcome All Baptist Church, South Cobb Drive in Smyrna. I'll never forget it. I had grown a little bit attached, we'll use the word, to another little 11-year-old girl that lived across the street with blonde hair. She was the prettiest little thing. All of us got together, and a bunch of us guys, and were saying, "Hey, did that guy come by and invite y'all to church Sunday morning?" "Yeah." "You going?" "Nah." We went around the circle, and we came to her, and everybody said, "Hey," her name was Rosalind. I hope she's listening this morning, Lord. She'd be loving this. Her name was Rosalind. And everybody said, "Well, did they come to your house and invite you to go to church?" "They did." "Are you going?" "I am." I couldn't get back to the house fast enough to tell Mama, "You got to get me some clean britches. I'm going to church Sunday morning on the church bus." And I did. Short story. We got to the church. Preacher preached the message. Altar call was given. Some of my friends got up and went, and so did she. I made my way down to the altar, and I knelt about right there. The pastor, listen, you got to be careful. The pastor came down, put his hand over my shoulder, and he began to pray. You get it? He prayed. He was done. He said amen. He looked at me, a little 11-year-old kid that had been taught some manners. I knew to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Yes, sir, and no, sir. I had to come up with an answer because he said, "Son, did you get saved this morning?" I said, "Yes, sir." I hadn't even prayed myself. You hear me? I had not had an understanding of what was truly going on. But he jumped up and about 5 feet off the ground shouted and said, "Hallelujah! Little Alan Clayton accepted Jesus as his Savior this morning." We got back on the church bus. He went through the same thing again. And he said, "Hey, I need to step on here this morning on the bus before y'all leave and say, Alan Clayton's on the bus and he accepted Jesus as his Savior." And I didn't know what else to say. I knew this. They had also gotten together and they was going to come to the house in the next couple of weeks and talk to me about what we had last week about baptism. You know what? I didn't even, Brother Don, I didn't even go back to the house and tell my mom and daddy what had taken place because I had no idea what was going on. The next time he come down the house, he was in a little yellow Pinto car. Most of y'all don't even know what a yellow Pinto car is. I get it. But he came down the house, that yellow Pinto car. I jumped the fence and went to my buddy's house, and he stayed at my house for some time. I knew what he was talking about with my parents. I didn't even want to go. It ain't been many times I didn't want to go back to dinner, but that night I didn't even want to go back to dinner. I was hiding out, you see. But I did. I went back home, and I thought, well, I might as well just go ahead and figure I'm fixing to get the news. They're going to try and figure out what in the world's going on. Why didn't you tell us? You know what? My mother and daddy never said a word. Because they knew if I had experienced what he said I experienced, that I would have come home telling them what Jesus had done in my life and in my heart. Hey, when Jesus comes into your heart, you can't help it. You got to can't help it, and you got to tell everybody. And I can tell you that because I know for sure. Because at the age of 15, Brother Ceylon, I was in a meeting where the Holy Spirit began to touch and tug at my heart. I was sitting about halfway back there. I was gripping the pew so tight. There was sawdust on the floor. And the Holy Spirit, Miss Sharon, began to convict me of my sins. And I realized at that time, something is wrong with me. And the preacher said, if you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, then you are a sinner. And you must accept the fact that you're a sinner. But I'm here to tell you that there's a Savior, and you can accept Him, and you can go home a child of the King. That night I let go of the pews and I ran as fast as I could. I fell on this side of the altar that night. I surrendered my heart and life to Christ, and I have been just as, I'm just as saved today as I was back then as a 15-year-old boy. Somebody say amen right there. That's what Christ will do in your heart. But you know what? When I knelt, tears streaming down my face, I heard God say to me, Brother Don, hey, it's not so much that you chose me. Oh, but today I choose you. My name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it's been there ever since. It can't be taken out. It can't be blotted out. I'm sealed, safe, and secure. I'm as assured of heaven as if though I was already there. I'm telling you this morning, this might be the last time I ever have an opportunity to share it, but I'm going to tell you the news this morning. You need Jesus more than anything else in the world. You can be selected for a Major League Baseball team. You can be selected to be the President of the United States of America. But I'm telling you, if you die without Christ, you will spend an eternity in hell. And you don't have to. Not within the walls of this church. You've heard it one more time that Jesus will save you if you'll come to Him and tell Him you're a sinner and that you want to be saved. I could just say amen. I know y'all thinking, hoping I would too. But I got a couple more things I want to share with you this morning. But I am so thankful for the night that I came and accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. Do you remember the story of Lucifer? Oh, Lucifer. We always picture him in hell. Down there with a pitchfork and, you know, flames, all that. But Lucifer himself is in heaven. Y'all remember the story. He's standing before God. And the Lord says to him, as if he didn't know already, he said, "What have you been doing?" He said, "Well, I have been going to and fro across the whole earth, seeking whom I may devour." And God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" You know the story. Satan said, "You know I can't do anything with Job because you've got a hedge around him." Then Satan says, "If you will remove the hedge from around him, I'll make him curse you to your face, Lord." And God said, "I'll remove the hedge from around everything except from around his soul." He said, "You can attack him, but it is Job's choice how he responds." A choice to the attack. Job is a righteous and an upright man. Now he went through trouble, but he got to choose how he responded to the trouble. You remember Joseph? He too was chosen. He didn't ask for his father to make him a coat of many colors, but the father did. He made him a coat and thrusted him, the Bible says, thrusted it upon him. Now Joseph is chosen, but he gets thrown into a pit. He winds up in jail. He's lied about in Potiphar's house. They took the coat that he was so proud of and covered it with blood and told everybody that he was dead. Now, how can you be going through what you are going through and still be blessed of God? I said a few moments ago that if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, that you've been chosen. And we have a responsibility to do what we've been chosen for. David was chosen. Samuel had chosen him to be the king. He had anointed him with oil, chosen to be the king. but he sends him to take care of sheep. You never notice that? He anointed him as the king and sent him back to take care of the sheep. Can you be great and go back and shovel sheep dung? Hello? Sometimes we go through tests of our character. I remember Brother Snyder used to always say, I don't have such a hard time understanding God's will as I do understanding God's timing. Hello. You ever thought about that? I don't have such a hard time understanding God's will. The problem I have is trying to understand His timing. God doesn't always give you the details, but in the end, everything will be all right because you have been chosen. You've been chosen to be a delivery boy. Oh, David was chosen just to be a delivery boy to deliver some lunch to his brothers. He was in his, I guess in our time, he was the Uber Eats driver. That's expensive. Yeah, ordered anything Uber Eats lately? Don't do it. David had no idea he was going to be going through what he was going to be going through when he left with his little lunch to take to his brothers. All he knew was that he was chosen. But when he got down there with the lunch, it was a totally different situation, wasn't it? David and Goliath defined the fact of why he was chosen. Sometimes you know that you're chosen by the level of trouble that you go through. If you get scratched by a kitty cat, it's one thing. But if you face a raging lion that's coming after you, it's altogether another, isn't it? The devil would not be attacking you the way he is, hear me, if God didn't have something awesome for you. There's a good place for an amen right there. David did not wake up that morning and say, I feel like fighting a giant. Give him a slingshot and about 5 slick stones. I'm ready to go. No. David was packing lunch to bring food for the army. They were in the fight. It wasn't David's fight. Some of us get drafted into things. And we wonder, why in the world are we here? What in the world are we doing here? It's not even our fight. But do you know that no one in that army could defeat Goliath but David? A little boy over on the backside taking care of some sheep. But David could beat him because he was chosen. Somebody here in this building this morning, there's no doubt in my mind, somebody's been chosen for something. God wouldn't have given me this. Somebody's been chosen for a job. Now, we think it's got to be something, wow, where the whole world stands up and cheers. But it might be taking care of somebody that's going through a hard time. And all God wants you to do is just whisper to them, hey, have you ever accepted Jesus? Wow. Have you ever accepted the Lord as your Savior? Maybe it's when you get in line at the grocery store and everybody ever noticed everybody's a grouch. They'll run in front of you, run you down with their buggy to get in front of you, just check out their stuff. Well, if you have anybody there to check out your stuff, you may be at Walmart to where there are no employees. But it might be that the Lord's just calling you just to give a little word of encouragement. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes we look at people and we think, look at them. Riff raff. Look at them. There's no telling what they're involved in. They look like drug addicts. Look at that meth head. But you never know what somebody might be going through. They may be, you talking about down on their luck. Hey, they may be going through a time that you have never experienced before. And the Lord speak to you and say, hey, won't you just tell them about me? Are you serious, Lord? You want me to talk to them? Yeah. Pull you right out and choose you. We'll never get done with this thing this morning. But David could beat Goliath because he was chosen. I'm reminded this morning of a small little kid with a sack lunch. Greasy bag. Probably got a couple of little catfish in it. And five little pones of bread. You can call that cornbread if you want to. It don't matter. Five loaves, two fishes. And he's down there with a sack lunch. He's there with his sack lunch for himself. But there comes out a need. And they go to Jesus and say, Lord, there's no way in the world that we're ever going to be able to feed the 5,000 here. He said, gather them up in groups. Set them over on the grass. In so many words, he's saying, you just don't realize. You just don't realize that I've chosen you and we're about to use you. They said, well, we do have this one little lad over here with a lunch. Bring it here. And you know the story. They begin to disperse all that lunch. Before you know it, these 12 baskets remaining, everybody's sitting over there with their belly stuck out, full. Stuff. Couldn't eat another bite. And we got 12 baskets full left over. You know why? Because God chose to use, He chose a little boy, a little lad that brought all he had and fed a multitude. I could go on and on and on. But I want to tell you this morning that there was someone else that was chosen, and we'll all remember the name. I don't know where CJ went. He must be downstairs. I hope he's listening. But there was a gentleman by the name of Ben Bennett. Y'all remember Brother Ben? Man, I love that guy. We're going to finish out with this, but just hang in there. Old Ben, he had been chosen. If anybody ever been chosen, it was Uncle Ben. And he had been chosen in a time that he didn't realize what he was dealing with. I'm sure. It was back, what I understand to be more the beginning of the children's home. That was the old children's home over in Smyrna. I remember that was the first place Terry and I, when we started coming to this church, the first thing we did was, we said, we got to go over and see that children's home. Man, we'd pack them up on Sunday and bring them home with us. Sometimes we'd bring them home for Christmas, didn't we? We'd get the girls, and they'd just come over there and just, we'd have the biggest time. They had their names written on a styrofoam cup and put them up in the cabinet. And every time they'd come over to the house, they'd go to the kitchen and get their cup down. But brother, Uncle Ben, I got to hurry, I know. Uncle Ben had been chosen. What he didn't realize, no wonder CJ's not here this morning. He's downstairs somewhere. What he didn't realize was he was going to have to raise up a little boy by the name of CJ Martin. Now, you think, CJ, yeah. Back then it was CJ, oh no. I recall a time that little CJ with his horn-rimmed glasses, that thing was so thick, looked like the bottom of Coca-Cola bottles. CJ with, come on in, pal. He was brought in by the nap of his neck, am I right? Uncle Ben said, right there, don't you say a word, as I'm going to say it again. And don't you move a muscle, have a seat. Uncle Ben turned around, you could see the scowl on his face. You know where he was, where CJ had been? He'd been in my children's church. And I said, Uncle Ben, I love you, pal, but I can't do nothing with him. He's, I know, you can't believe it. You know what, though? Uncle Ben said, I can. And he did, didn't he? Yeah, in many ways. Now, I got to shorten this. I ain't even going to go back up here because I get too much into the message. Hey, look here. Some years later, Uncle Ben, he's already moved on from the children's home. They down there vacation, bless his heart. He's down there trying to come back to himself from dealing with, you know. Some years later, my precious daughter comes to me and says, hey, Dad, remember that little girl I took a liking to? She was 11. They're quite older than that. She comes to me and says, hey, Dad, I think I've fallen in love with... I can't even say it. I think I've fallen in love with C.J. Martin. I fell to my knees and said, oh, God, help. I tell you this morning that he was chosen. He was chosen to be the husband to my precious daughter. Hey, he was also chosen to raise four of my precious grandkids. Chosen. Selective service. Drafted. I don't know so much about being drafted, but I do know one thing. He has been grafted into our family. And I tell you, I love him like he's my own son. Many mornings we'll send a text and say, hey, man, I'm praying for you. I'm talking about mornings. Now, when I get up at 3. I don't know about you. But early in the morning, we'll send a text message back and forth and say, I love you, man, and I'm praying for you. Just because. But do you know what he's been chosen for? He's been chosen not only to be a husband, but he's been chosen to guide four lives. Hear me and hear me well. To the Savior. That's the most important challenge you have in your life, son. He has some challenges. He can cut some grass. I cut grass. He's a manicurist. But the most important calling on his life is to guide four children. You remember what I said? I never will forget the night when the Holy Spirit, there's your key, convicted me and drew me. I ran to the altar that night and accepted Christ as my Savior. That young man has been chosen to lead and to guide those children, that they too, through the moving of the Holy Spirit, will say, you know what? What Mom and Dave's been telling me is true, and I've got to get saved. I would not want anyone in this building to leave here this morning and not know the Savior. But I tell you that what weighs heaviest on my heart
are the ones that call me Papa. The ones that call me Dad. I'll never forget when Amanda came running, knocking on the door of our class. And Terry, I need you to tell me about Jesus. And she got saved that day. See, Lon, I'll never forget the night, on that Thursday night in that Jubilee meeting. The Holy Spirit was so thick in here, you talking about cut it with a knife. Robbie looked at his mom, and he looked at me. That's my son. He's 31. He's a big boy. But that night, he got up, and he came, and I knelt with him and told him, showed him from the Word of God how he could be saved. There is nothing greater in this world that you and I have been chosen for than to tell someone how they can come to know the Lord as Savior. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, hey, you can run me over. But I'll stand right here and I'll take the Word of God and I'll show you how you can come to know the Lord as your Savior. If you have been saved and you're carrying a weight that you just, hey, our shoulders were not made to carry the weights we do. Casting all of your cares upon Him because He cares for you. But if you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, somebody will show you this morning, hey, you've been chosen. Father, we love You. And Lord, we thank You this morning. Lord, I so sense the moving of Your Spirit in this place. And Lord, if there's someone, no matter the age, Lord, I've seen people, friends, that have been in this church for so many years, come to realize that there'd never truly been a time when they surrendered their life and said, I know I'm a sinner and I stand in need of Jesus to be my Savior. I've seen them walk an aisle and get gloriously saved. Lord, You showed us last week how young people, those two young girls, heard a message in a junior jubilee and realized that they needed to be saved. They came and accepted You as their Savior and now been baptized. They've been born into the family of God. But Lord, this morning, I promised You that I try my best to be true to You and to Your Word. And Lord, I've asked You, and I'm pleading with You this morning, if there's someone here today that's never accepted You as their Savior, may this be the day that they'd realize that and come to know You, just like I did, as personal Savior. I would never want anyone here or anywhere to spend eternity in hell. But Lord, it's a choice that we must make. Help someone to surrender to You this morning. We'll praise You and we'll thank You for all that's accomplished in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me this morning?
Just as I am without.
You sing it. Go ahead and step out and come with me. Let me take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved. If the Holy Spirit is drawing you, reach out and take someone's hand and say, will you go and pray with me? You don't come alone. I promise you, if you'll come this morning for salvation, someone will meet you here. I'm pleading with you, don't go, but come. Thank you.
He's going to play through one more verse. He'll play through one more verse. Could be here this morning and the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, and for whatever reason you didn't step out, or maybe shy, afraid. But I've seen people get saved at home. Terry got saved at her house. I've led people to the Lord out on the steps, downstairs in the fellowship hall, on the phone. I'm just glad that when he calls, that he chooses. Let God use you somewhere this week and be a witness to him, for him, to somebody. If you're here this morning and you didn't step out and you need somebody to talk to, hey, somebody will talk to you after service and you can still be saved. I want to tell you thank you. I apologize for holding you this long, but I believe that I delivered the message that the Lord had, and all I can ask you to do is take it to heart and do with it what the Lord tells you. I love you, church. I'm so thankful to be a part of this church and this family. We're just a family. I tell you what, if you'll turn around and shake hands with somebody, tell them it's good to see them in the house of the Lord. We'll see you tonight at 5. CJ Martin, this morning.